This is the Holy Gospel according to John. Glory to you, O Lord. Now when Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she knelt down at his feet and said to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. Jesus said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus began to weep. And so the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Couldn't he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" Then Jesus, again greatly disturbed, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Now Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, already there is a stench, because he's been dead 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Didn't I tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone, and Jesus looked upward and said, "Father, I thank you for having heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I've said this for the sake of the crowd standing here, so that they may believe that you sent me." And when he had said this, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" And the dead man came out, his hands and feet bound with strips of cloth, and his face wrapped in a cloth. And Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. So before you sit down, because I'm going to make you wander a little bit, we're going to start by talking it out just a moment. I want you to look around the sanctuary here. We have a nice crowd this morning. And I want you to move out of your pew, find up to 4 other people, ideally people that are in a different generation than you. So cross generations, cross over. Once you find that group of, 3 to 5 people, sit down together, and these questions I want you to talk over. I'm going to give you 5 minutes to do this. So find that group and then talk through these questions. Talk about a favorite prized possession, somebody that you love. 5 minutes. All right. Thank your conversation partners. And you can keep sitting with them if you want, or you can find your way back. But continue these conversations. As we gather together today, we are talking about generosity, and we're talking about those saints who we have lost in our lives. And in this worship service today, we gather into the communion of saints, the communion of saintly sharing. When I think about those that I've lost, I think about my grandparents. They're my closest family members who have died. And I remember them fondly. I remember my grandma, who I knew for welcoming us into her farmhouse for summer sleepovers, for inviting us out, for making holiday candies around this time of year, and then the beautiful spread of chocolates and candies that she would have, of showing up at her house and watching sci-fi shows together on the Sci-Fi Channel, and going on Easter egg hunts together. I remember my grandpa inviting me down to the corn crib on their little acreage in the country to play poker with the guys. I remember my other grandfather taking me out pheasant hunting this time of year, and fishing, and cooking breakfast for the family when we'd all pile into their little home out in western Nebraska. The parts of them that I remember most are the parts that they shared with me. The parts that stick with me are the parts they shared with me. There was a lot more to my grandparents than I will ever know. When we get together and talk about them, my mom or my dad always let me in on some of the family secrets or some of the things that even they don't know. I remember after my grandfather died, the one who invited us down to play poker in the corn crib with the guys, I remember hearing a story about how he was a prisoner of war in Korea. And I was told this story of his escape from being a prisoner and the relationship that he had with the woman who broke him out, and he ended up getting married in Korea to this Buddhist woman, and then she was killed as retribution for saving him. I know this story about my grandpa. I know these facts. I associate this story, but I don't. It's almost like it's a different person, because it wasn't a story that he shared with me. The only parts that I really remember are the parts that he shared. And the only parts of you that will be remembered by your loved ones are the parts that you share with them. If you share the good, they'll remember the good. If you share the stress or the anxiety or the anger, they'll remember that too. The parts of us that people come to know are the parts that we share. In our gospel reading, we see Jesus ministering to this family, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, this group of siblings. And Jesus, we don't know about his relationship with them up until this. This is the first time this family's mentioned in the Gospel of John. And yet, they know that Jesus loved them. There is that starting place of love, because Jesus shared his love with them. And so when they needed him, they remembered him. And they remembered, this is a man who loves us. And they remembered more than that, because Jesus also shared his healing with them. They remembered Jesus is a healer. And when Lazarus suddenly gets sick, when the sickness is getting bad, they remember that this man who loved them, who is a healer, might come and help. And so they send someone out. They send a messenger out to find Jesus, to come and heal Lazarus. And yet that messenger comes and speaks to Jesus, and Jesus does nothing. He sits and he waits for 2 days. It's always hard to understand why God withholds himself, why God hides, why God waits. Anywhere that happens in Scripture, anywhere God sort of covers up a little bit, we always wonder, why? Why have this family experienced the trauma of death? Why? Why wait? But Jesus did. He waits. He waits for 2 days. And by the time he arrives, Lazarus has already been dead for 4. And there's something in this. There's something in this that Jesus is trying to teach us. There's a word about it that Jesus is trying to speak. As the family grieves their lost loved one, as Jesus comes to meet them and see them, Mary and Martha come to him, they are weeping, and Jesus, seeing them weep, seeing the community weep, Jesus wept as well. And in this, he shares. He shares a little more of himself. We remember people for what they share with us. And had Jesus just healed Lazarus, had Jesus helped them completely avoid the pain, had Jesus helped them avoid experiencing the trauma of death, then they might never have known that God shares in that with them, shares the grief, shares the love, even in the face of the most horrible things that happen. And in this sharing, and in this not avoiding the pain, but facing the pain, Jesus seeks to teach us, all of us, to teach them, and that's us, as we know, that weeping may spend the night, but joy does come in the morning. That ultimately the pain and the suffering of our lives is a temporary passing thing. And that when we suffer, there is a lie that suffering tells us. The lie that suffering tells us is that suffering is all there is. When we are in the midst of suffering, it feels like that is all there is. And we curl up in a ball, clutching to our pain, unable to see beyond it. But Jesus sees beyond it. Jesus knows that this pain is passing, and when he comes to the tomb, he says, "Unbind him. Open up that tomb. Open up that wound of pain. Unbind it and let it go. Let it pass. Let it go." In this community of Christ that we get to be a part of, we come to God in order to learn how to let things go. To let things go so that we can live, so that we can love, so that we can be free. And not just be free ourselves, but also that we might learn to free and unbind one another. In the community of Christ that we hear about in the gospel, in the book of Acts, they come together and they get to be known for the things that they share. Not for what they had, but for what they shared. They unbind their possessions and let them go. They preach a word. They share the promise of baptism and blessing and water. All throughout history, we know the community of saints by the things that they shared in their lives. We know the saintly theologians by the words of God that they spoke. We know the apostles by the missions that they started. We know church leaders by the work that they led. We know the work of lay ministers and saints and loved ones, all for what they shared with the world for the sake of Christ. Our ancestors gather around us, and we live in the world they shared. We don't necessarily know what they dreamt about at night, what the personal problems were that they faced in their human day-to-days, but we remember those shining, sharing moments, those gifts. So on this day where we celebrate the communion of saints, the community gathered together here, breathing with one another, and the communion that has formed us as we come together, the saints whose presence we call into being by the candles that we light. Let us share and remember. Share and remember the love of Jesus. Share and remember the hope of Jesus. Share and remember the hope that never goes away. Share and remember the promise that does not succumb to suffering. Share and remember it all. Amen.